listening to Morning Devotions for the next 30 minutes. This is John Fresher, and I trust that the broadcast will be a spiritual uplift to you today. So stay tuned for the next 30 minutes. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. Fasting alone in the desert, tell of the days that are past. How for our sins he was tempted, yet was triumphant at last. Tell of the years of his labor, tell of the sorrow he bore. He was despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected, and poor. Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him, tell how he liveth again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Lord, may I always remember, love paid the ransom for me. And my dear friend, I love to tell the story of Jesus to you every day, Monday through Friday, out there in the unseen audience, wherever you may be, driving along in your automobile or sitting there at home all by yourself or in a crowd of people, just to lean our arms a while upon heaven's windowsill and through the open window, gaze into the face of our Savior. And then with that vision in our heart, turn strong to meet our day. The story of Jesus, not only is it dramatic, sensational, wonderful, exciting, the best part of it is true. A true story. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus who was laid at his gate full of sores. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they who would pass from here to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from there. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And Abraham said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Those interesting words are recorded for us in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16. The rich man thought that if Lazarus could just rise from the dead and go as an evangelist to the home where his 5 brothers lived, and he could warn them about that place of torment and the consequences of living ungodly lives, that they would listen to him. Somebody resurrected from the dead, surely they would listen. But Abraham said, if they won't hear Moses and the prophets, the scriptures, neither will they pay attention, though someone were to rise from the dead and go tell them. That's interesting, because it just seems to be that if you are not willing to simply believe the gospel, just the simple message of the scripture, neither will you believe, though you saw miracles. If someone were to rise from the dead and go and stand in your pulpit next Sunday morning, you would no sooner believe him than you would believe your own preacher right now. That is, if that preacher is preaching the gospel with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and if he's genuine. If you don't believe him, neither would you believe someone, though they rose from the dead and they came and stood in the pulpit next Sunday. I think a good prayer to pray, a good prayer for us to pray is, Lord, make me a simple believer. A simple believer. Romans chapter 10. The Apostle Paul lets us know that it is a matter of someone ascending up into heaven to bring Christ down from above, or to descend into the depths below to bring up Christ from beneath. But what saith it, the word of faith? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Just simply believing. It isn't ascending into the heights above or descending into the depths beneath, but it is just simply believing in the story of Jesus. Believing that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Or as Jesus said, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. And you remember how those bitten by the snakes, when they got close enough to look at that brazen serpent, they did not die, but they lived. And Jesus said, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. This is just simple faith. You don't have to see anything dramatic. You just simply believe. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe in miracles. I believe in the supernatural. I believe in angel visitants. I believe in God speaking audibly. I have never seen an angel. I have never had a vision. I have never heard the voice of God audibly. But I do believe that it happens. But my point is, I don't have to see those things to be a believer. I just have to read the scripture. And John says in his Gospels, these things have I written unto you, that you might believe, and believing that you might have everlasting life. And you remember what Jesus said to Thomas after his resurrection. You remember the disciples were all gathered together on that first Sunday night on the day of the resurrection, and Thomas wasn't there. And Jesus appeared to the disciples. And then when Thomas came home, they said to him, "We saw the Lord. Jesus stood right here in our very midst." Thomas said, "I don't believe it. And I won't believe it unless I see something. Unless I can put my fingers into the prints of the nails in his hands and thrust my hand into his ribbon side, I will not believe." Well, the next Sunday night, Jesus stood in the midst of his disciples again, the doors being shut, and he suddenly appeared, and he said to them, "Peace be upon you." And he breathed upon them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." And he turned to Thomas and said, "Thomas, reach hither thy hand and touch the prints of the nails in my hands. Thrust your hand into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." He believed. But Jesus said, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they who have not seen me and yet believe." That's you and me, isn't it? I've never seen Jesus. I've heard his story, and I tell his story. I believe with all my heart that I have felt his presence. Many a time in a session of prayer or in worship, I have felt the Lord so near, it seemed that I could almost reach out and touch the hem of his garment as he passed by. But I've never seen him, and I don't have to until that day when, thank God, I shall see him face to face. But that's not to say that others have not seen him, because they have. Paul saw him in vision. Jesus stood right there beside him when he was in house arrest in Caesarea. Jesus stood right beside him and said, "Don't be afraid, Paul. I'm going to be with you. And as you go to Rome, I'll be with you." Jesus stood right there. Paul saw him. And many a person has had personal visions of Jesus. John did on the Isle of Patmos. He saw the Lord. But what I'm saying is, it's not necessary. You don't have to look upon him right now. You don't have to have something dramatic taking place in your life. You just have to simply believe. Simply believe. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Believest thou this? Do you believe? And as Peter said in his epistle, "Whom having not seen, ye love. And in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." But that rich man thought if Lazarus could just rise from the dead and go warn his brothers, they'd listen. No, they wouldn't. If they wouldn't believe Moses and the prophets, the writing of the scripture, neither would they believe if they saw a miracle. So quit saying, "Oh, if God would just do something really special for me, then I would believe." No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. What about this verse in the Gospel of John, chapter 12? "But though Jesus had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him." Or even in the preaching of Paul when he was in Rome, and people came to him in his lodging, And he preached to them, he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets from morning till evening. And the next verse says, and some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. It just seems to me that if Paul were the preacher, everybody would believe. If Jesus were the preacher, everybody would believe. No, they didn't. There were many of those who believed on Jesus, and there were many who did not. There were many who were persuaded by the preaching of Paul, and there were many who were not. And they turned against him and even stoned him and left him for dead. It doesn't matter how charismatic the ministry, how dynamic the personality, how powerful the preaching, you still have to have a simple heart of believing. And furthermore, if you don't believe my message, as simple as it is, just coming from a little old preacher here in Bristol, Virginia, if you don't believe what I'm saying about Jesus, neither would you believe if you saw miracles and the heavens opened and the Apostle Paul rise from the dead and be our guest speaker in our pulpit next Sunday. You wouldn't believe him either. God give us a simple heart of faith to just believe Jesus died on the cross. Lord, change my heart. Change my heart today. I don't want to be obstinate, rebellious. I don't want to be faithless, unbelieving. But I want to believe. I don't need anything special in my life. I just want to read the Bible and believe it and embrace it. And believing in Jesus, I shall receive life everlasting. Lord, make me a believer. That's a good prayer, isn't it? Make me a believer. Change my heart, O God. Change it from doubt to faith, to believe God.
Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. Yeah. To see your hand.
And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots for them, whatever men should take, and it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, "And he was numbered with the transgressors, and they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross." And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?"
I was guilty with nothing to say, and they were coming to take me away, but then a voice from heaven was heard that said, "Let her go. Take me instead. I should have been crucified."
Well, this is John Thrasher. Thanks for listening. Have a good day. God bless you.
I should have suffered and died. I should Jesus, God's Son, took my place. Crown of thorns, a spear deep in his side, and the pain should have been mine. Rusty nails were meant for me, yet Christ took them and let me go. I should have suffered.